Okay, Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas is the middle of a story, actually, that really started last week when the Jews failed in a sin of idolatry, and it created a tremendous magefa. Tremendous magefa that landed up killing 24,000. And then Zimri publicly was with a girl, and Pinchas went and killed them. And then it goes to this week's Parsha. And this week's Parsha is going to talk about God's reward toward Pinchas doing this massive idea. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, Pinchas, son of Elazar, of Aaron the Kohen. Who is Pinchas? Remind you, he's the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. He's a grandson of Aaron the Kohen. And here it says, he turned back my wrath, because that was meant the plague. And now what does he get blessed with? Therefore, say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. Brisi Shalom. Okay, that's a little vague. Covenant of peace. Rashi interprets it to be that he was given priesthood, eternal priesthood. Once you're a Kohen, always a Kohen, right? You know the famous joke. Guy comes to the rabbi, he's saying, I want to be a Kohen, you got to make me a Kohen. He's driving the rabbi crazy. He says, I can't, I'm sorry. At one point, he tells the guy, listen, what do you want to be a Kohen for so badly? My father was, my grandfather was, my great grandfather was. You must have heard that joke once, a million times.
But in this case, he didn't come from a Kohen family. Hashem made him a Kohen.
Yes. So Rashi asked your question. Rashi says, what are you talking about? He's the son of Elazar, the grandson of Aaron. What's going on here? That is Rashi's question. So Rashi says, and Rashi answers, up until that time, until this moment occurred, only Aaron and his sons had been anointed as Kahanim, which goes back a few weeks in the Sedras. And any future offspring, automatically, are born in the family will be Kahanim as well. Because once a Kohen, always a Kohen, as per the joke we just said. However, Pinchas was already born when they did this anointment. He was already maybe the oldest grandchild. And they did the anointment on the father and on the grandparents. And they didn't do it on the grandchild. It doesn't take place yet. So when does it take place? He's out. The new people being born goes from here on forward. But he's part of the old system. It wouldn't work. So what happens? Pinchas was already living. He was not included in the appointment. So that he had remained a Levite up until this time. He was not a Kohen until this time. But now that he did this great move and he killed the person, killed them, God rewarded him with eternal kahuna. That's how it goes. That's what it says here. Now, this would mean, which again, we have said many times in this class, that when you learn Rashi on the Torah, sometimes, then it's a must learn Chumash Rashi, but sometimes when you start looking around, you realize there might be more to the story. And here we have a fascinating idea. The Gemara in Zvachim on 100b and on 101b actually has an argument. And the argument starts back a few weeks ago on the first of Nisan of the second year they were in the desert, which really was almost the completion of the first year. As we have said many times, the Jews left Egypt in 15th of Nisan, but the next year began on Rosh Chodesh. Would be the second year. What happened that second day? That was the most famous day. The inauguration of the Mishkan. 340-something days after they had left Egypt. That was the beginning of the Mishkan, on the first day of Nisan. And what happened on that day? Nadav Avihu passed away. And in Parsha Shemini, we go back to it. Reels is a huge story. What do they do with the sacrifices? Do they eat the sacrifices? Do they burn the sacrifices? And the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron HaKohen's living sons who weren't really talking. Very, very interesting story. So the Gemara discusses why all the details of that story. We are not going to go into the details of that story now. But the Gemara says, and we have a rule, that if someone is an onen, that means it's the death of a close relative, he is not supposed to serve in the temple. That's what the Gemara is discussing over there on page 100b. And the Gemara says, well, is that the reason why they wouldn't have eaten all the sacrifices? That's not a fair thing. Why? There were other Kahanim around. Let them eat it. You don't have to have you eat it. You're right. The guy who touched that dead body, the guy whose sibling passed away, he's out. But what about a guy whose uncle passed away? That's not called that. So who would be the uncle who passed away? And the Gemara says, Pinchas. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. Elazar's brother died. So Aaron, it's his son. Elazar, it's his brother. Pinchas is not an onen. Pinchas is not sitting shiva. Pinchas is not in mourning with a you. Let Pinchas eat the sacrifice. And the Gemara over there is discussing, what do we do about that? But that leads to an obvious question, Charles. That event happened year two, beginning right at the beginning, literally, of year two in the desert. This story here, what we're discussing in this week's parsha, that's Parsha Shemini, different Chumash, beginning of Leviticus. We're now in Numbers, toward the end of it, by the way.
38 years later.
38 years later. And what are we learning right now, since you were so intelligent 5 minutes ago? We're learning right now that Pinchas was blessed with the kahuna right now, 38 years later. So how does the Gemara say that Pinchas could have eaten from the Kohen as a Kohen? He could have eaten from the sacrifices in year two because he's another Kohen around. He wasn't a Kohen. We just learned that he was not a Kohen. That when Aaron and his sons were anointed, Pinchas was not anointed, and therefore he wasn't a Kohen. When did Pinchas become a Kohen? 38 years later. Unbelievable question. Now, again, Rashi doesn't have to answer this question. Rashi can say, I'm explaining the Chumash in the most simplistic way to understand these words. What does it mean, the words, I shouldn't close it, I am giving you an eternal kahuna, bris kahuna. The easiest way to understand it is, as Eliezer said correctly, do you understand, is that right now you're getting kahuna? But you should know, and then we'll have to answer, that there is another theory in the Gemara, that he had the kahuna 39 years earlier. If he had the kahuna 39 years earlier, we then have to explain an open pasuk in our business with Parsha. What does it mean? He says he gave him eternal kahuna. We're not finished yet, because the Gemara doesn't only have two theories on when he became. That's from 100b to 101b. But 101b of Zvachim has a third theory, because the third theory goes in Joshua 22. That's way later. Joshua 22, it says, Vayishma, and it said, and Pinchas, I don't know, Pinchas the Kohen did something. That story was, at one point, the people on the other side of the Jordan, B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, and half of Manasseh, they did something that was questionable if it was idolatrous. It became a huge scandal. It was all in Joshua 22. It became a huge scandal. What do we do here? Oh, they built an altar to question what it was. So there's a big debate. What do we do here? What are we doing here? And it says they sent Pinchas and other people as well to figure out what's going on over there. And here it says, when Pinchas, the priest, and other people came, and they created peace. They created peace among them. So Pinchas, the other people, created peace among them in the end of Joshua. And the Talmud says, I have a funny thing here. In this week's parasha, how do we define Pinchas? What's his adjective to describe him? Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. Every time it quotes Pinchas by name, cites Pinchas, it cites his genealogy, but never adds in the word Pinchas the Kohen. Doesn't say it. This is the first time, this meaning in Joshua 22, it says Pinchas the Kohen. Why did it say Pinchas the Kohen over here? So it says, the Talmud says, there's a rabbi in the Talmud that says, you know what? Pinchas finally received kahuna when? Then. Which we have three theories right now. We have a theory when you read the Chumash simply in this week's Parsha. Pinchas became a Kohen right here when he killed these two people. We had a question now from the Talmud a page earlier that says, no, he might have had the kahuna 38 plus years earlier when the Mishkan was being inaugurated. And we have another passage in the Talmud telling us, no, he got it. I don't know how many years that was, but way into Joshua's 40-year reign. So therefore, there's a question. We have three different theories. Now, of course, Rashi's going to explain it in simple terms. We want to say that. Rashi's going to say he got the kuna here because that's the words. I will give him bris kuna, which means I gave him eternal kuna. But we got to answer according to the theory he came way earlier. Or according to the theory, according to the theory, he became a Kohen way earlier. Or according to the theory, he became a Kohen way later. How do you understand simple words of the Pasuk? I gave you a bris kahuna. Maybe you don't know what
that means. Is it possible, according to the first shot, that he wasn't considered a Kohen yet, but he was a family member of a Kohen, and therefore was able to eat kachim then, such as like the door of a Kohen?
Wow. Okay. Very, very good. Very, very good. According to one answer, Bodenheim is saying brilliant. He is saying that maybe he was there are two possibilities on how to be a Kohen. There's a genetic Kohen, and then there's a holiness of a Kohen.
Yeah.
99% of the time, they go together. The only time it won't go together is early when people weren't Kohens and becoming Kohens. So if you weren't born a Kohen, which can't exist today, because today you're born either a Kohen or not a Kohen. There's no changing, even for $1 million. Maybe for $1 million, not for $100,000. So maybe Bodenheim wants to say, that he was a Kohen under certain levels. Genealogy, he still was Allah's son, and that would have allowed him potentially to eat, although he wouldn't have the Kedush of a Kohen, which means he wouldn't have been able to pass it on. Bodenheim didn't say this, but he meant this, pass it on to his children. Brilliant answer. Possibly a real, what we call, lumdus in yeshiva, Bodenheim. Excellent job. We're before that right now, because even if that is true, no, then you would say that he was a Kohen early on, and the statement here, when I gave you Brisi Shalom as a kahuna, would mean I gave you kahuna as kedushas kayim. We're gonna make a break. Just tell me. Oh, okay. But anyway, this question that I'm asking, how do you explain the Gemara? Is the Gemara's question? The Gemara has. I have three offers here. I have either became a Kohen 38 years earlier, either became Kohen now, or he became a Kohen when it says in Joshua. Now the Gemara is gonna ask, according to the person that he became a Kohen now, then why does it only say Kohen later on? And according to the person that says he became a Kohen later on, why does it say the word Kohen? Why does it say Brisi Shalom and a Kohen over here? The Gemara is gonna ask these two questions. So the Gemara answers like this. The Gemara says, according to the first one, if you're gonna say that later on he became a Kohen, what does it mean over here? Public announcement. It means he got the blessing that futuristically he's capable of becoming a Kohen. There are details that have to occur to become a Kohen. For example, you got to get anointed, special oil, or you got to put on special clothing. There has to be. So it says right now, you might be eligible to be the Kohen. You're receiving a blessing. That this Tosis explains it. Shayyah Kohen. He's saying you will be a Kohen. Really, Tosis says, he could have been a Kohen right away. But it didn't happen right away. Why? Technical details. They were missing. When did it happen? You either can say it happened later on right then, or at some point near later on. But the Gemara seems to say later on. So that means that right now he was anointed not anointed physically. He was given the status as he could become. He was worthy of it. Practically speaking, it didn't happen till later on. So the theory would be he only became a practicing Kayan later on. Tosis adds on a monumental detail. If he was given the idea now, do it now. Tosis says an unbelievable idea, that in order to become a Kohen, you have to be anointed from the special oils. And therefore, if the people don't want you, you can't, and with someone becoming Gadol maybe, you cannot become. Very strange. That means normally we understand a king, there might be some parliament and voting process. Who would think on a Kohen Gadol? Tosis seems to say, the words are, that they didn't take him. Why not? Because they, Loi Nisratzu Loi Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael didn't want him right now. Why didn't they want him? Obvious answer. Mipnei shaharag nasi. David, he killed someone. They're like, we don't want him to be a murderer and then turning into a Kayan. So we don't want him. I said, oh, you don't want him right now? It could be even though you're worthy of it, you know, it's not good enough yet. But later on, when there was almost a revolution, because people weren't sure about the altar that happened on the other side of the Jordan, there was a huge discrepancy of what that was. They had to send out investigative reporters. They had to figure it out. And then Pinchas led the way to create peace. They said, oh, that's a peaceful person. Peaceful person. Now let's do what we were originally told you were worthy of. We weren't ready to do it. Now ready to do it. It became later on. That is the Gemara's answer to explain. According to the person that says that he actually became a Kohen later on in Joshua, it says it here. Here was worthy not. Now, what does the Gemara say the other way? The Gemara says the other way, he got the kahuna now. So why only over then do we call him a Kohen then? The other reverse answer. How do they say it? They say v'idach nami yaksiv v'yishma pinchas akayin. It says there what? Gemara answers hahu liyachas zaroi acharov. That means when he got the kahuna now in this week's parasha, a special blessing, a special monumental leap in status, he became a kohen gadol maybe. That was for him himself. But later on, X amount of decades later, when he then went out of his way and he created peace among all the Jews, at that point he merited that all his descendants will not just be normal kahanim, but they will be kahuna gedoyla. Tosfos says the words to explain it: Sheloi hoya kahanim gedoylim ela mi Pinchas. Pinchas's descendants, that's right on the right track. Pinchas's descendants were merited that most of the kahana gedoylim came from his line. So therefore, even though now he became a kohen, at this point in time when he killed Zimri and the woman. But the extra blessing, we call it then. So we have two. We have Rashi in this week's parasha saying he became a Kohen right now. Not very limited on details. Rashi, by the way, what do you mean he became a Kohen now? He was born. He's Elazar, the son of Aaron. Yeah. He was too young. He was born before. Doesn't work. The anointment doesn't work for the people already born. Okay. Then we said there's two other theories. One theory, he was already a Kohen then, and one theory, he's already a Kohen later. And then we answer those two psukim. So now it goes like this. So we have three. The Gemara has three potential time periods on when Pinchas became a Kohen. It wasn't in the early days of the Judaism, it wasn't automatic that you were a Kohen. Either happened at one point automatically, maybe when he made Aaron a Kohen, and he made a laws, then Pinchas as well. Or Rashi says this week, no, Pinchas became now. And then we have the Gemara debating an open Pasuk in Joshua, saying only became a later on. Now, why would he have become a Kohen now? So the obvious answer is he has a merit. The special merit he has, because he stood up for the Jews, and he murdered these two people who were publicly transgressing God's work and making a tremendous desecration of God's name. Therefore, he merited having the kahuna now given to him. Now there becomes a question from the Zohar. How often do we quote Zohars on Tuesday nights? Not too often, but the Zohar asks this question. The Zohar says like this. He takes the assumption, and it's based on this Gemara. The Gemara in Bracha says, I took it out. The Gemara in Bracha says, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is in Brachas, because sometimes Charles wants the numbers, 32b. 32b, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Kohen Shahara gets a nefesh. Any Kohen who kills a person, Loy Yisa es Kapov, he may not raise his hands to do Birkas Kohenim. Cannot do it. Why does the Pasuk? The Pasuk says in Isaiah, Pasuk says, and when you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, as we know sometimes people close their eyes at this, and your hands are full of blood. We're going to read the article. That means spreading your hands to confer the priestly blessing is not acceptable if your hands are full of blood. By the way, this is a practical law applicable today.
Human blood,
yes. This becomes a great debate. It did become, not a debate, wrong word, halakha question. When Jewish soldiers were drafted into World War I, in the old days, they knew if they killed someone. You know why? Because the only way to kill someone in the old days was close combat. I'm not saying the guns weren't around before World War I, but mainly. And then when World War I became, the weapons became greater and greater, and someone was a Kohen, and he had no choice whether or not to be drafted. And he's shooting far away, and or he's flying a plane and dropping something. He might have been a killer. And sometimes he knew he was a killer. What happens? Here it says, you are not to have hands that are spread. Oh, Oscar says, Shulchan Aruch rules that a Kohen may not confer the priestly blessing even if the death was caused accidentally. Whether or not repentance is effective to return to his previous status is another dispute. But that's, we don't even accept repentance by us nowadays. There's a Gemara in 32b in this. So the Zohar says, wait a second. If a priest can't do the priestly blessing because his hands are bloodied, would you make the assumption that that means if he was a Kayan already, let's go how far this goes. If a person was a Kayan, he loses this special priestliness, if that's a word. He loses the priestly powers and he's out. Why? Because he killed someone. I have a question, Eliezer. Let's say a guy was not yet a Kayan and he killed someone. Are we going to make him a Kayan? Zohar asks this question. He says, how could Pinchas merit becoming a Kohen when he killed two people? So then, that's the opposite of reality. When a Kohen kills someone, and by the way, when it's saying this, your hands are that, it doesn't mean necessarily we're upset with the guy. It doesn't make it, David HaMelech couldn't offer to create the temple. God says, your hands were sullied with blood, which we wanted you to do, which we commanded you to do, which we needed you to do. Doesn't mean you can't build the base of Middash. Okay, no, that's the game. It's not a punishment. If a Kohen accidentally killed someone, we don't punish.
Shogig.
Because Shulchan Aruch rules that a Kohen may not confer the priestly blessing, even if death he caused is accidental. The Zohar asked the question. He says, I take the assumption that if he can't do the priestly blessings, he can't do anything. How did Pinchas become a Kohen? Now, because Charles hit a home run here, I'm reading you a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in Bechiris, since he likes the numbers, 45b. Bechiris 45b says, there's an animal that has to be a firstborn animal that becomes a special usage for holiness. And animals are brought for sacrifices, but certain disqualifications in the animals are there. And there are certain qualifications for the Kohen who performs the service. So it says like this, I want to tell you disqualifications that will not disqualify the Kohen, but will disqualify the animal. Easy example, we don't allow you to kill an animal, both a mother and son on the same day. Okay, if, God forbid, in the same situation, number 40, I'll just read it easily. Torah states an ox or a sheep and its offspring you shall not slaughter on one day. Thus, when a parent or offspring of a sacrificial animal is slaughtered, you cannot order that sacrifice on that day. The Mishnah teaches, though, that an animal is rendered unfit by sacrifice by the fact that its parent or offspring. But this does not apply to a Kohen. A father and son may perform the avod on the same day. Not a problem. Goes to a bunch of things. And here it says a mild one. One with whom a sin was committed. We'll skip for now because we're running out of time. And one who killed a person. Interpretation. An animal that kills a person cannot be offered as a sacrifice, even when there is sufficient evidence to have it put to insufficient evidence to have it put to death. That means when the animal killed someone, but we can't kill it for technicalities, this animal cannot then be brought as a sacrifice. A murderous animal's out. However, I'm reading how you read this Mishnah. A Kohen who kills a person is fit to perform the sacrificial service. What? How do you know this? Because it says that if a Kohen is by the altar, we take him away in order to make him executed. The phrase is me'im mizbechi tikach ulamas. This implies that the performance is still good. We're going to kill the person for them being a murderer. Now, this means that if you read the Gemara as is, openly states a murderous Kohen is allowed to perform the service. Right away, the commentators say, by the way, even though the Gemara says in Brachas we just did that a murderous Kohen even accidentally may not perform the service of the blessings, that does not transfer over to the laws of performing the services. Question is, why not? Tosus has two answers. One is because it's this law of Rabbi Yochanan is only rabbinic. Okay, rabbinic law. Then you certainly say it's not a problem for Pinchas. Pinchas going biblically speaking. Or, like we said, it only applies because your hands that are blessing people have blood on them. We don't want the hands for blessing to be the hands that actually murdered someone. But as far as performing the services, it might be allowed. So Tosfos here openly states, commentators here openly state, that when it comes to priestly blessings, they're not allowed. But when it comes to murder, they are allowed. By the way, sacrificing the murderer is allowed. What's fascinating is, to have in parentheses here, the Tosfos Yom Tov, who Charles loves, says, by the way, look at the old manuscripts, and in the old manuscripts, there are editions when this disqualification is not listed. Why would it not be listed? The Tosfos Yom Tov wants to explain, you know why it's not listed? Because a murderer would be disqualified from the sacrificial services. So we have a question now. How do we have a mission that seems to openly imply a murderer cannot, although a murderer cannot do the blessings, he can, yes, do the sacrifices. And Tosfos Yom Tov says, don't take that out because he cannot. An accidental murderer is out for all priestly services. We have a Zohar that asks the question. The Zohar says, how in the world could Pinchas become a Kohen if the sacrificial services are disqualified by a murderous Kohen? Which means the Zohar as well understands that a murderous Kohen, even accidentally probably, cannot perform the service. So we have an obvious question going on here. Now, some want to answer that the reason why Rashi had three theories here, three theories in front of him. Either he became a Kohen 38 years ago, either he became a Kohen right now, or he became a Kohen in the end of Joshua. And we said, Rashi chose this one. Why? Because we decided that the words in the Chumash of Brisi Shalom, which they interpreted as a covenant of peace, makes more sense to say it now. And Rashi wanted to go with the simple interpretation. Others potentially want to say, no. You know why Rashi is doing this? Because Rashi wants to explain to you why Pinchas has a nuanced, positive thing to him. You know why? Because if Pinchas would have been a Kayin, then it's a disqualifying factor. Murder, accidentally or not, by someone who's already with the holiness of a Kohen is disqualifying. But an ordinary person doesn't have disqualification like this. And if not disqualified so far, that he still could become a Kohen. Not a big deal. He can still become a Kohen. So therefore, Rashi said, you know what, by the way, I'm going to give you this Kuna thing. I want to tell you also. Don't worry about the murder part of it. You know why? He wasn't a Kohen yet. And as long as you're not a Kohen, then it doesn't matter if you previously had murdered. It doesn't matter. That's not it. We wanted to start now. The hands of a Kohen of special holiness, then that they can't be part of this game. But the hands of Yisrael are not a problem. You have the one in a million chance. What about a hand of Yisrael that wants to become a Kohen? Not a problem. That's how Rashi picks this interpretation. But to do a little Musa before we end, unbelievable idea. Imagine your Pinchas, your father, your uncle, your grandfather. Everyone gets the anointed oil, and they're all getting the kahuna. And guess what? The children born afterward get in the kahuna. Is that the greatest woe is me of all time? Come on. I couldn't have been born 3 years later. Oh, you couldn't have just given me the thing also. I'm alive already. I'm standing right here. And I don't know how many years it went from then till now, roughly 38 plus years, right? For 38 years, I don't think Pinchas is a great man. He didn't have this question. But 38 years later, in a moment of greatness, of zealotry, positive zealotry, he murders two people, capital punishment deserved. And you know what the reward is? You now become a Kohen. And the hint to him was, now you do. But had the system been differently, and you've been a Kohen 38 years ago, you know what would have happened now? Disqualified.
I have done it.
Well, we're assuming he would have done it because the zealot does it automatically. So therefore we have what seemed to him for 38 plus years as the greatest injustice was one of the greatest blessings. When things go on in our life, and sometimes we assume that we know better, and it's unjust, and it's not fair, guess what? Probably the greatest blessing, if you do the right moves and you head in the right direction, it's all good.